Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Oi, the boys and girls on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language. And sometimes the tales can get quite adult in nature. So keep the volume down if there are kiddies around. And thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. You know that we are the number one show. So grab your fucking mitts and now it's time to go. Cause it's the
booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started.
It's the booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Amy, Drink, and JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
You're listening to This Just In on Footy Prime, your almost daily footy fix.
But I don't know what the fuck's going on with this thing.
Who does, Jimmy, you don't use headphones, do you?
No.
No, and it's fine, isn't it? Without. Like, there's no echo.
No.
Yeah.
I just use a mic and the computer.
So why do we use headphones?
Why do you use headphones?
So you can hear your voice?
We just discussed actually before recording that perhaps the listeners can help us, help Jimmy more importantly. As you may have noticed over the last, 2 years, there is an occasional or regular, shall I say, notification, email notification pops up during our podcasts, and it's always Jimmy. And Jimmy's explained to us that there's a notification pops up from his Exchange email, which we think is an old email from years ago. Who knows? Could be TFC. Could be York. Don't know where it's from, but he can't access it or get rid of it. If someone out there, and there is someone out there listening who knows these things, how can Jimmy get rid of that notification? By turning off notifications, it doesn't work right, Jimmy. It doesn't make a difference.
Maybe it's the man up above trying to get a hold of me.
Your dad upstairs, who lives upstairs?
No. Jesus.
Oh, Jesus.
Through email? Has it come to this?
Maybe he's just trying to reach out. Hey, what's up, man?
People with job offers phone trying to get a hold of you.
Ding. Could be that too.
So mean. Ding. Craig.
Phone is ringing off the hook.
Mean girl.
Yeah.
Now maybe it's JC though, because miracles, we will see miracles every day now. Like, so what? They're so, yesterday's news. That now he's got to try and contact those souls that need his help through email, through the Exchange server. That could be what it is. Anyone out there knows how to help Jimmy out here. And by not just silencing notifications, because that doesn't work for whatever reason. There's something else there pops up. Anyway, it's for your private podcast. And Craig's here, and JC is here, and Wonga, and Jimmy. I'm Shams. No Dubs today. Is Dubs he's on vacation or UEFA course?
No, I think both.
Both,
I think
yeah.
She's doing a double UEFA, and she's on March break in Quebec at some tournaments.
Okay.
So she's doing the
diving,
doing everything.
Yeah. Diving.
It's for the best, because I think her and Jimmy need some time apart after their argument on Friday night on the dark web over Jimmy's mic.
I know. What's the matter with her?
She went right at you.
I know.
Right at you. Teeth bared.
She wasn't even there, and she's still having a go.
Yeah. She was referring to your mic or lack of mic on our Hercules Gomez interview.
Yeah, but we already discussed what happened. And yet she still feels the need to jump in.
I just sat back and watched. You know that emoji the meme where the guy's eating popcorn and just like watching? Is it Michael Jackson from the Thriller video? It is, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
That's me. That was me on Friday night watching JC, watching Jimmy and Dubs go at it, just like two badgers in a cage.
Well, the other big thing.
I mean, look, you know, when I received it and I her first initial comment, and I was like, oh, fuck off. Leave me alone.
What, you mean the one she said?
I didn't have the mic.
You called her mother hen.
Yeah.
Fuck off, mother hen. So, oh, here we go. She ain't here for
your day. I could see her cringe. You know how she can't hide her facial expressions? You know she was like irked by mother hen.
She hated it, and she went right back. She was not going to take that.
She wasn't happy.
No.
Sorry, we have to also mention JC had a big event.
The biggest event of the weekend.
Biggest event on Friday night. Tell us what happened, JC.
There's Biggie. Explain.
Biggie, Biggie got a haircut and got his mullet done up real nice. So we made a little video, and I put it on social media. And I feel like Dr. Evil stroking my cat, Mr. Bigglesworth. Put it on the old internet, and I'm like, why don't I throw it on the old TikTok? So I did. And I looked at it a couple hours later, and there were 3,500 views. I'm like, holy shit, 3,500, that's wild. And then it started to get crazy. Then it went up to like 36,000. I'm like, oh my God, 36,000. Biggie's gone viral. Well, it didn't stop there. Woke up on Saturday morning and it was about 700,000. I'm like, oh my God. Fast forward to this morning, today, which is Monday. So it's 3 days it's been up. And we are at 4.1 million views.
What?
For a 12-second video of the cutest dog on earth.
JC and Biggie going viral without it being a sexual transmitted disease.
That's very true.
It's crazy, isn't it? How do these things work? You know, like you just, some things just, I don't know, they resonate, I suppose. The old algorithm picks them up.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's weird because there's, I know that TikTok has a thing where they'll only let you get to, say, like as soon as you put out a video, they'll pump it and it'll go up to about 1900 and then it'll stop. So anything above that is an organic sort of thing unless you push it or pay money to have it pushed out. But this, somebody must have got a hold of it and just started sharing it. And now it's like, and he's an internet sensation.
Biggie. Oh, yay. Maybe we all grow mullets and sit in JC's lap. We'll go viral.
This is true.
Right?
I'll rub your tummies.
Me and Biggie are going to have a conversation about mullets at some stage.
100%. Ooh, yeah, because Craig
stay has tuned for that.
Utes back in the day, Craig. Some of your, I guess, would that be your early West Ham days or later Ipswich days?
Oh, no, is it Ipswich?
Ipswich.
Beautiful curls.
Yeah.
Yeah, great right? Lock. Oh, my God.
Yeah, really nice.
Never permed it. So it kind of didn't look like Biggie's mullet. If Biggie's going to do it right, he's got to perm that shit up.
No, Biggie's got like Tiger King mullet quality, right?
Yes.
Right, that's what it is.
Yeah. Hulk Hogan.
Yeah. JC, was it so the type of dog that Biggie is, I say dog. Is that a normal haircut or something that you just thought you'd try? You're muted. Nope.
Yes, I am. Is the sound better by chance? I adjusted the great. No, that is not a normal haircut for a dog which we believe to be a Yorkie. We're not quite sure because he's a street rat from Texas. But when I moved to the Fort Erie, Ontario, I thought I'd grow an appropriate haircut, which was a long blonde skullet almost, because I shaved the sides. But I thought, well, Biggie better looks just like me. And so I cut mine because I looked like a homeless man. And when I would go past schools, I would, the police, right? Mm. So, Biggie, on the other hand, is still rocking it. That's his choice. That's what he likes to do. So, I mean, and look at him now. You know, like, I mean, other than Craig, I don't think any of us have had, you know, a more iconic haircut other than Jimmy's, you know, castle or roof shaped haircut.
A-frame.
Or Dan's poof.
Mm-hmm. The poof.
Mm-hmm. Or Charms's widow's peak.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Or the Dracula. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. But anyway, 4.1 million.
That's can't incredible. Be wrong. 4.1 million views. That is insane, man. We just wow. give us a little bit of that, for Christ's sakes.
I have to bring you. I'm trying. JC, I have to bring you down a little bit. I stalk you secretly. I'm 1.5 million of those. I've been on it nonstop, just staring at them.
I thought so.
Speaking what of about street the one with
Biggie was ahead, humping the pillow.
That's true. Did you put so Biggie did up? Get a little. I did. He get a little high on himself. That's only. It's got 1,100 views, but it wasn't a pillow. It was a small stuffed duck. And I guess he was feeling like, you know, he was excited. And he was just going to town on this poor duck. Big time.
He didn't give a shit watching, did he? He just is going right at it. At a boy yeah. Biggie.
So if anyone wants to see these, go to at the Voice Vendor on TikTok or Instagram. Check those out.
And while you're there, follow Footy Prime.
100%. I've been tagging Footy Prime in all of it.
Good stuff. Speaking of street rats... Phil Foden had a game, didn't he? United against Man City, and although it was 3-1, really the scoreline doesn't do City justice. One of those weird stats, 398 touches in the opponent's box to 58, really says it all, Craig. What a performance, not only by City in the end, but by the young Phil Foden.
Not bad. Not bad. Outside of Rashford's great finish and made the game interesting, outside of that, Man City were just a million miles ahead. There's nothing comparable. Man United are miles behind that City side. Not even, it's not even close.
So Haaland scores again. All right, 80 goals in the 84 games he's played for United, Jimmy. 80 in 84. We know he's good, right? He's had a bit of a slump by his standards, I suppose.
City.
Through injury.
City, you said United.
Oh, did I? Ooh.
I'm afraid we'll get yelled at if we don't correct on the internet. Yeah.
Good call.
They wish, but 80 and 84. And Pep Guardiola said that his ability to miss chances and just forget about missing those chances is what really impresses him. And is it that old goldfish brain kind of thing that strikers need to have in football, the great ones?
Look, there's no doubt. The guy, he's world class. I mean, the goal that he ended up getting was a little mistake with Man United trying to play out the back. Falls into his feet, and for him just to open up his body and place in the corner, it's a terrific finish. You know, he is ridiculous. What a striker he is. I mean, yeah, granted, he missed that sitter when the ball came over. I think it was Foden actually headed it back over to him, didn't he? And he just nicked it over the bar. But he ended up getting his goal. And you're right, Craig. You know, there's such a massive difference between Man City and Man United. The gap is huge. Just the football that they play, the confidence that they ooze. Man City is just, they're what a side that they are. It's ridiculous how good they are. Just how they control the game and dominate it. And it was good. Even Foden's goal was his first goal. I loved just how he gets on the ball and just comes inside and just wraps it around the keeper into the top corner. You know, it's they're a special side, that's for sure. They really are.
27
himself in some great positions.
Oh, it's crazy.
Is it up. He gets himself in just really, really good positions.
He makes it look so easy at times, though, doesn't he?
Oh yeah. So what's changed? And even the second one, the second one was just another tidy finish as well.
Yeah, second was tidy, but
tidy.
No, they're just so good. You never feel like they're out of a game, do you? You know, sometimes you see teams, but like with Rashford's goal was ridiculous. I mean, just power. What a strike that was. But even then, you just know Man City's coming back. Man City's going to control the game. They're going to come back. They're going to get their opportunities. And then when you see Foden just get it, just come inside, boom, wraps it in the corner, you're like, okay, here we go. City's just going to take control of this game now. You can feel it.
It's as if we've been waiting all year for them, though, to hit their top gear, isn't it? Because as much as they do, they're still very much in the hunt just behind Liverpool. They haven't really hit top gear And considering what they accomplished last year, we shouldn't be surprised by that. But the fact that they can still get results and grind out results when they're not at their best and rely on a moment of brilliance from a Foden or a Haaland just kind of, I think, separates them from perhaps everyone else.
They got game winners all over the place, too.
Yeah. They do. I mean, look, we've talked about their depth before. You know, I think a lot of teams are, you know, 1 to 14, and anything above that, you know, you're not sure that the quality's coming on. It's going to change a game. These guys are like, you know, 1 to 25. Everybody that comes off the bench can change a game. Their depth is so deep, and they're so good.
They better change the game, Jimmy, because the standards are so high. You could end up finding yourself out of that team because the quality is so good.
Yeah. No, 100%. You know, I was thinking about it. I was like, imagine every day just training with that squad and being a part of it. Just, I mean, the standard is ridiculous that they have.
You got to have a certain kind of mentality, though, right, to succeed in that environment, too, because Pep's tough. He's tough on you. Look at Calvin Phillips. We discussed that before. Most players that Pep brings in do succeed. And they get better, but there are those that just can't quite handle it. And I wonder if Jack Grealish this season is that guy who's been pushed a little bit too far, because I know he's hurt right now, but hasn't made that impact. He's got to be an extremely demanding manager to play for. Is it mentality you need to have as your strongest ability, or is it technical ability to play for a Pep Guardiola, do you think?
I think both. You just better be ready to go when he puts you out there because of the standard. Because somebody's going to take that spot. And I think that's the biggest thing. If you want to be part of a side that's one of the best we've seen for an awful long time, great. If you don't want to be part of it, you're not going to get anywhere near it.
I would have loved to be in that situation.
So they keep their standards really, really high.
Yeah, I would love to be in that situation. That would push me forward. I mean,
no kidding.
Being tested every day, being pushed. I would have loved to be in that setting.
Yeah, you would.
When you're playing the ball up to people, they're keeping it. They've got their touch is always bang on. They make each other look really good.
Yeah.
Okay, but then you got Liverpool, who are making a claim to be, you know, the city of, like, city domain last year. Liverpool playing so well this year on all the fronts, albeit Europa League, not Champions League, but still, who cares? They're moving on. They I won't say they struggled, but they weren't great again against Forest. It waited until the 99th minute. Sorry, Jimmy, to remind you of this. Nunez pops up and scores 4 wins in 11 days. And even Klopp said post-match, you know, he never would have thought they'd get 4 wins in 11 days, including the Carabao Cup, of course, last weekend. Yeah. Great teams find ways, right? And you have to feel sorry for Forrest, Craig, a little bit in this one. But regardless, that was a lovely header from Nunez.
Yeah, it was. But a lot about the referee's decision after the injury to not give the ball to Forrest, which he should have done. I mean, there's a lot of football in between time, but it's still, when you're down the bottom and you're just scrapping and every point's a prisoner, you know, the last thing you need is something like that that's going to lose you a very important point. So I felt for them. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I did as well, Craig. I really felt for them. And I felt that there could have been a penalty claim as well on Forrest. On a set play, you remember the grappling. You guys, you know that. And Charms, you know it, being a Liverpool fan. You probably were like, ooh, that's a penalty.
Could see it given. Yeah, absolutely.
And it wasn't given. And then 10 minutes later, they go down the other end and score. Yeah. So it's bullshit. Bullshit. should have had a penalty.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think, yes. The biggest question post-match was, though, the lack of the drop ball, right? So basically what happened was play was blown after Konate went down with a possible head injury. He collided with his goalkeeper. Hudson-Odoi had the ball at that point in attack, in a dangerous position. So the whistle's blown, head injury, okay, whatever, that's part of the rules. But then the drop ball was given to Liverpool when it should have been given to Forest. I understand that. Now, let me ask you this, though. So last week or week before, Forest, they hired Mark Clattenburg, the controversial Mark Clattenburg, who, amidst all the noise around him, is an excellent referee, to become essentially their referee's analyst, right? And he actually addressed the media post-match to explain why that was wrong. And ownership say, we've hired Clattenburg, and he's speaking to the media because we feel that we've been, you know, ripped off throughout the season, some bad calls. We must do this. Okay, Jimmy, what do you make of that? A team hiring a referee, and not just hiring a referee to analyze the referee's performances, but then to speak to the media post-match.
I love it. I love it. I love it because, you know, so many times if a manager gets in there and he starts complaining, people are like, oh, sour grapes, you lost. And if a player says something, oh, yeah, whatever. And if an owner says something, then people like come at them, don't they? They're like, oh, whatever. You know, you lost and now you're just making excuses. Well, no excuses. Now you got an official who's actually telling you exactly what's happened and where it went wrong. I love it.
See, it doesn't bother
but
me.
I don't get the point of it because I get it, well, it too, but it still doesn't all make any sense to me.
But I think it doesn't change
anything because it's like he goes into the dressing room and he says, oh, the referee made a mistake. He should have given you the ball. Okay, I'll tell the fucking media that. And it's like, yeah, we all know that. We don't need Clattenburg to fucking tell us. Like, what does it do? It doesn't change anything. It doesn't give him points. Doesn't give him the playback.
Does it put pressure on...
You're not going to get the call next time.
No, but it's having an official calling out another official.
Clattenburg must be despised.
Okay,
right?
And you're paying for that?
100% he is.
I mean, he's a mercenary. He's the first mercenary referee, isn't he? He goes to the Middle East. He comes back.
Hated.
He's got, yeah, he must be despised. But I mean, I get it. It doesn't bother me because what he also does, he breaks down referees, right? And so you have so-and-so refereeing this Saturday against you or for you, but in your match, he will break down that referee's nuances and what he calls. So the team knows what to expect. And in a day and age where we have throw-in coaches and set-piece coaches, all these coaches, why not have a referee working for you who can break down, okay, this guy, he's going to call this more than that guy is. I don't mind that. That's just modern football, right? This is the overthinking of modern football. But it makes sense. Now, addressing the media post-match, that's a whole different ballgame entirely. That's going to rub some people the wrong way and might actually be, you know, disingenuous. In fact, it might serve against your team rather than serve it for them. Don't you think, Craig?
Well, yeah, and if he's part of that club, and he's talking to the media, complaining about the referee or talking about the referee, and he's open to get fined too. The club can still be fined, I would think, if he's a member of staff complaining about officials, thinking that they're going to get off the hook because, well, the manager didn't talk about it, the owner didn't talk about it. Oh, we got Clattenburg here. I still think they can get fined.
That's true. Yeah, well, I never thought about that.
Gregor, did you ever have a manager who lost his shit, who got into his own way with the refs and talking too much?
Oh yeah. More players.
Who was the worst player?
Well, Ian Wright, we got sent off at Upton Park, and the referee's dressing room is literally down the tunnel at Upton Park, immediately first door on the left. So he comes off. I was on the bench. He comes off and hear all this ruckus going on behind. And, Harry says, go find out what the fuck's going on. What's Wrighty up to? I go in there and he's tearing this referee's dressing room apart. So he gets sent off, goes straight in the dressing room. He's fucking throwing the TV. He's ripping it off the wall. He's got the referee's clothing and he's fucking sweating. Hanging it around in the dressing room. And then there was a policeman, you know, he got a policeman in the tunnel there and he walked in and he actually told Reddy, he's like, Reddy, get out. And then sure enough, halftime comes and the referees come in and the dressing room's destroyed. He got a few games for that. He might have got six games for that.
Did that happen a lot? And does it still happen? Do you think
going after referees, and it happens a lot.
But, I mean, is that something you think happens a lot that we don't hear about? Referees getting confronted post-match by coaches, by players in their room. You don't hear too much about it. You see it on the pitch. You see referees, you know, making complaints and players getting banned and suspended or fined. But actually behind closed doors, do you think it happens still?
Oh, yeah. Of course it does. Always.
A stern email, Sharms.
A stern email.
I despise you. Your refereeing is horrible. I'm going to tell everyone.
Just wait till Jimmy's exchange gets opened up and we see all those emails awaiting him from his York days.
Or maybe you find that a lot of times it's not the head coach, right? It'd be one of the assistants that wait for the referees to come in, and then they're the ones that go after the ref.
Mm-hmm.
They'll just wait in the tunnel because, you know, the referees normally wait on the pitch, and then when everybody leaves, and they go, and then you'll have an assistant that just hangs in the corridor. And then as soon as the referee comes down the tunnel, it's you, this, they start going crazy.
The assistant usually. So the coach will send the assistant because who cares if he gets banned for a game?
Yeah. Yeah.
He's the muscle, basically.
Yeah.
Do the dirty work. You can have blood in your hands. Just keep me away from it, says the manager.
Yeah, because then the manager deals with the team, and it's like, you go deal with a referee.
But most referees, I would think, have got very strong personalities, right? You can't not have to be a referee at that level. They can handle the barracking, can't they?
Mm-hmm. For the most part.
Where is the line to be drawn, though? What can't you say to a referee?
Well, who's it? The legend England guy just passed away last week. What do you say to the referee? Something like, if I called you a cunt, would you send me off? He's like, yeah, I'd send you off. If I was thinking that you're a cunt, would you send me off? He goes, no, I couldn't send you off for that. He goes, well, I'm thinking that you're a cunt.
Who was that, Greg? We've got to find out who that was.
Yeah, was it Sam Bowles or something?
Stan Bowles? Sam Bowles.
Stan Bowles, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that's lost. That's a great line.
You know what's brilliant about that? It's pub talk brought onto the field, right?
Yeah.
Because it's something, it's fantastic. You're getting thrown out of a bar because you drank too much and you come up with that line. It's brilliant.
Yeah. My favorite referees were always the ones that gave it back as good as they got it. And you'd be like that. Oh, you're having a fucking nightmare. And he'd be like, Brennan, I'm having a nightmare. You've just kicked the ball out of bounds three times in a fucking row, and I'm having a nightmare.
Fair enough.
Yeah, exactly.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Yeah.
Were the North American referees the same, or are they different?
No, there was a couple. There was a couple of good referees in North America that had some good banter.
Hmm.
Yeah.
But for the most part, no.
But for the most part, no. Like, the majority were terrible. Terrible. You couldn't even speak to them. But there was a couple. There was Alex. There was Petrescu, the Canadian. He was great. You could have a bit of banter with him and talk to him.
Is he still refereeing? He's not anymore, is he?
No.
Can we get him on the show, Jimmy? Can we try?
He wants to come on the show.
What? Then why isn't he on the fucking show?
Because he's a referee.
Oh, okay. So he is still refereeing then?
No.
Or because you don't want him on the show because he's a referee.
I'm scared he'll book me.
Yellow card.
All right. I think he'll be a brilliant guest.
Yeah, we'll brilliant get him on. Guest. He's awesome. Okay. He's a great man. Lovely fella. We'll get
him.
Is he
still
on.
Involved in the game?
Yep, he's still involved.
Okay.
Not refereeing right now. I think he's doing some educational work with referees, but lovely fella. We'll get him on because that would be great to have him.
That should be a special, that one. We could do an hour easy talking to an ex-referee in CONCACAF. I think it'd be fascinating.
Yeah.
Mm. Don't they have an age where they have to retire? Is it 45 or something?
Yeah.
Like a forced retirement?
Well, that's pretty age, much
what, which I think is kind of ridiculous.
Happened. Yeah, 45. That's pretty much what happened with him.
But 45 so young now. Like, maybe that's rule. How old was that rule, Craig? Because 20 years ago, 45 was, well,
I think they changed, it, though. Remember Kalina was refereeing, and he was the best maybe of all time. and he was being forced to retire at a certain age. And I think they changed it, didn't they, for him? Maybe 5 years older, maybe. I forget now. But Kalina was at his best, and he had to retire, though. It was crazy.
But if you can get around, if you pass the physical side of things and the testing that way, I don't see that age is a problem.
It's like getting your driving at all. Driving when you're 80, right? You're having that test. If you still pass it, you should be allowed to drive.
You think about it where, you know, normally people think that as a footballer, you retire 32, 33, and you got guys that are playing until the 38, 39.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. What's the difference?
Yeah, I agree. You're either a shit referee or you're not.
Sharms, can we do something?
I don't know. It depends what me and you.
Well, like,
now?
Touch things together?
Yikes.
No, what are we doing? It's time for a commercial break.
Oh, is it? Who wants to throw it to break?
Yeah.
Anyone care to throw it to break?
Greg.
Can I throw to JC to throw to break?
Yeah. Brilliant.
Time now for JC to throw to break. Hey, JC.
Hey, James Sharman, it's me, JC. Guess what? We need to pay some bills. So instead of going out in the street and just getting down to it, we're going to go to a commercial break. We'll be right back after this one. Stay in school, kids. Fuck off.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What up, Primers? It's JC, that guy. Don't miss a second of Premier League action only on FuboTV. Subscribe at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. With Serie A, League One, and One Soccer 2, you can get it all at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. Now, back to the show.
Fuck off.
And welcome back to Footy Prime. All right. So staying with this Liverpool Forest game quickly here. I just love the Nunes chant. He's heard it all year, right? But the Forest fans chant, you're just a shit Andy Carroll. I love that. Just because he's big and he's got the hair, you know. But he's really good. He's really good.
You're just a shit Andy Carroll.
What was the chant too? Was it like there was a...
I think it's, you're just a shit, Andy Carroll. I think it's probably that one, isn't it?
Oh, it's good. It's good. Did everyone notice, though, also that we were talking City, we were talking Biggie. All of a sudden, we start talking Liverpool and Sharms perks up. It's like night and day. The first 15 minutes, I was like, oh, Sharms, this is a little low energy.
I was just like pulling teeth trying to get something out of these guys.
Well, I know, but low energy.
Why not Monday morning and all, but Jesus.
I don't blame you. But we should really just start with Liverpool right away is what I'm thinking.
Oh, you think so? We know how much the certain listeners will appreciate that. All right. Spurs beat Palace 3-1. Now Palace with a new manager, right, in Oliver Glasner. He's trying to – this is really boring. Fuck, do you want to talk about this?
Go on.
Just, as I read the question, it's really fucking boring, but some people might get it. All right.
I want to know how Roy is doing.
Yeah, I know. I think he's alive. He's doing better. Yeah. But the way they played compared to the way Glasner's coaching Palace right now, Palace are playing a much of a high press, more energetic style under Glasner, right? And they seem to kind of burn out a little bit late in games. But mid-season, the change from Roy's style of football to Glasner's style of football, how hard is that? Is that an interesting question or really boring?
No, it's an interesting question because the thing is, when at the beginning of the year, when you're doing your preseason, you are setting the tone of how you're going to play. And if you're going to play a press, if you're going to play, so you're how you train the players is to get you fit for that season to play that certain style. And you're right, James, what you're saying is like they want to play this high press, but the players are fading towards the end of the games because they're not prepared to play that style. That's what's happening there. And that's why they're struggling right now. So as a manager, yeah, you want to do certain things or you want to play a certain way, but if your players aren't trained and to play that style, then you can't do it mid-season. You can't. It's impossible. And that's why they're failing.
And against Spurs too, right? Obviously a real good team. They won their first game with Glasner.
Yeah.
And then so we'll see how that – he's only signed to the end of the season as well. So yeah. We'll see if he needs to adapt that at all. But I don't know. But you got the standings there, Wonga, haven't you? Where's Palace right now?
Yeah, near the bottom.
They're in 14th spot.
Thank 14th. You. I did.
8 points Craig above relegation.
Oh, 8 points. Okay, they're fine. They'll be fine.
You know, the other, I was thinking, I know you had Everton on the list too, Sharm. Sorry to jump ahead. You've been given a new lease on life and you're still coming out and laying shits out there. Like,
Palace
doesn't matter? No, I was thinking Everton. I was just like, that you had the Everton matchup. Mm. And I was just like, you come on, fellas. And I don't like Everton, but there's this, that 10 points seemed really like a lot considering of all the stuff that we don't know what's happening with City and all these other teams. And then all of a sudden, you're given this new lease, the points, you move up from relegation, and you're still laying turds out there. It's sad. It's a sad thing for Everton. And they're a Liverpool, like, for a Liverpool guy, Sharms, do you care at all that Everton is scrambling?
I hate to say this because back in the 80s, it was a great rivalry. It was such a fun rivalry, and they met so often in the FA Cup, and it was brilliant. Such great players for Everton. Now, as far as that's become a bit of an irrelevance, right, in recent years because they struggled so mightily. I want to see a good Everton. I want to see a good one because it makes that region come alive, right? But it just hasn't been that way for some time. Hopefully under Sean Dyche, they can figure it out if they can survive this year. We'll see. There's still obviously more to come to their charges against them. So, yeah, it's difficult. But they're playing West Ham, for Christ's sakes, Craig, and I just don't know who West Ham is.
Oh, my God.
Is there a more enigmatic team in the league than West Ham? Like, one week, Moyes should be fired. The next week, he should be getting, you know, he's been, you know, embossed in bronze outside the London Stadium.
Yeah, I know. Everybody's like, what is it this week? Is it Moyes out or is it Moyes' three-year contract? it's changed all the time. I don't know what they don't like the way he plays, but they're in seventh spot right now. Like, I don't know. Changing their manager, you'd rather play your way beautiful football right out of the division. I mean, you always have that as well.
Are they the most
miracles, really, I think, with what they have. That's a pretty high spot.
Is he the most old school manager in the league, do you think? The way he his teams play? They're very predictable. You know what West Ham is doing, don't you? And that's why the fans don't like it. Then you look at a Burnley who play this expansive modern football and they're shit. They can't win games.
Yeah, they're 11 points out of safety, Burnley.
Yeah. So what do you want?
So be careful what you wish for.
I think West Ham fans think that, I mean, there are some, there's some good,
you know, like when you look at it, the whole oh, great players. Pretty good players. And they miss scoring
lots of
goals.
But if you were Craig, if you were looking at West Ham at the beginning of the season, you said, "Oh, they're going to be mid pack, but still biting at the heels of fifth." You'd go with that squad, with that club, the players, that roster. You'd probably say, "Yeah, that's about right." They're supposed to be where they are, and they're playing to that level, correct? Because it's not like you said, "Oh, they're going to make top five."
You know, exactly. And I mean, they sold their best player and you're like, well, okay, now what's going to happen? Declan Rice leaves and they're still managing to get results and sitting seventh in the tables. He's about as good as it gets.
Right. But like if you're a West Ham fan, which you are, like what would be your goal for the season? Is it Champions League? No, you're just like, let's have a good run. Like, there's no expectations for West Ham, is there?
There's always expectations, Jimmy, and they're at clubs, always way beyond really what they're, what's reality. No. But they've been in Europe a couple years in a row.
Yeah.
You know, they win the conference league, you know, so they're knocking at the heels of European competition for the last 3 or 4 years.
So would that be the goal then for West Ham after winning that European trophy that they got last year? Would be, okay, now we want to be Champions League.
Pretty tough, isn't it?
Fucking hell, it is.
Pretty tough to expect that West Ham's going to finish in Champions League spots with the squad that they have.
But there could be 5 spots this year, right? Extra spot. And you're seeing an Aston Villa. Mm-hmm. And you're seeing a Spurs, teams that in recent years have been very close to West Ham in the table. And they've grown and emerged and become these, I won't say forces just yet, but you see a real progression there. And I think fans, why can't West Ham, right? It's a big club. It's got a big stadium. Why not? Why can't we have higher expectations than perhaps we're being sold by ex players on podcasts in Canada?
Well, hey, if you want to have high expectations getting in the Champions League, you can't be selling guys like Declan Rice. You got to be keeping those enough types.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough.
Historically, they've always sold their best players. Going back in my day, you know, Rio Ferdinand is gone, Carrick's gone, Frank Lampard gets sold, Johnson gets sold.
Yeah.
Joe Cole gets sold.
Yeah.
To pay for a new stand. Really?
And then they move.
Oh, the players that they sold was ridiculous back in the day. It was crazy. That was their academy was the best in the world at one point, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Tony Carr, when he was running
it. Pretty much.
Yeah.
No, they're outstanding. And
That's where the whole football factory came from, wasn't it? Because all the players that they were producing.
Yeah, and it stopped. Remember
Football Academy, yeah. They were way ahead of their time.
Is Tony Carr still there? Or is he retired? I think he's retired now, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah. But Ron Greenwood, going way, way back, Ron Greenwood and John Lyle was his assistant. They played a football style that was sort of more suited what you see today, way ahead of their time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, respect for that academy. Paul Hicks came out of that academy, remember too.
They're going to survive. We know that much. That's the main thing, right? And seventh place is pretty damn good right now. And we'll see how that translates to the rest of the season. Mm-hmm. Hey, Wonga, so we should mention this with our parlay this week. We are one Inter Milan win away against Genoa today. Wow. From winning our $50 for our parlay today.
Do you still have that buyout? Like, should we make that decision right now?
So I don't think it's there.
Okay. So basically, we're five out of six, correct? And we have Jimmy's Inter over Genoa.
Genoa, yeah.
And that's
mine. No, I did not say Inter. I think I did Inter.
Did. Yeah. Sharms wants the glory?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So that's amazing. We also, our community pick, Man City, 3-1 over United. So charity wins. Let's also talk TFC, Insigne, my God, little chipper for fun.
Wait. Can I just jump in? Did Jimmy try and take my glory there?
I think he did. Yeah. No. He was just correcting my pronunciation of Genoa.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
TFC wins. CFMTL wins. CF Montreal wins. Whitecaps draw. Can women's national team win? It was a glorious weekend for Footy Prime and who we were cheering for. So just everyone should know that.
Yes.
And our YouTube clip with you, Hercules Gomez, got over 1,000 views. That's a big step for us. Yeah.
Really?
I looked at it this morning.
That's
on
huge.
YouTube. So if you guys, we are pushing out more YouTube video of Footy Prime and our grand experiment. And as we grow, we'll be doing this more often. So if you want to go to YouTube, go to Footy Prime's YouTube page and watch our boy Hercules Gomez and Jimmy talk from a bucket. Jimmy was in a bucket. asking questions.
So what we're doing, 4 or 5 times a week, we're going to put out on YouTube around the same time in the evening, a chunk of each show, a good chunk of a video, which you can enjoy or not enjoy. It's up to you. And a lot more social proof on all various platforms. JC's promised us 4 million hits very soon for one of our videos on TikTok. The TikTok, as the kids say. And, of course, Instagram.
Biggie's our new member, isn't he? We're bringing him on.
Mascot. Biggie.
Mascot, yeah.
Now, when we get our first merch, get our merch done, the first thing we're getting made is going to be a little coat for Biggie, for sure.
Ooh,
he can wear a Footy Prime coat for all his videos, for sure. Yeah. So, quickly, MLS. Obviously, we've got our MLS podcasts coming up this week, 3 questions throughout the week. You mentioned Montreal win. I didn't see the game. And Dubs isn't here. So, anyone else watch the game?
I watched the highlights.
Okay. And what? How can you add anything to what I just
said? They won 2-1.
Well, who scored though? Hey, the legend himself.
Yes. I don't remember who scored. I was watching under 15 volleyball, girls volleyball.
Well, listen, Dubs is cringing right now. Even though she's on vacation. She even commented on the rundown saying, oh, I can't wait for your Montreal recap, given what you wrote in the rundown, which is Montreal win, nothing else.
And to be fair, TBF, I reached out and said, Dubs, remember last week when you gave us something to talk about with CF Montreal? And she didn't follow up.
She let us know.
Right? She followed up with a picture of a pool. And I didn't think that was appropriate.
It was a nice pool. She it was a nice pool. From Jurassic Park, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So listen. All joking aside, though, we have MLS podcasts specifically to deal with these games. But TFC, we did all watch. I just want to ask one thing, because we'll get to it with John Molinaro later this week. But obviously, a decent performance, a grinding win. Insigne looked really, really good. But the pitch at Gillette Stadium, right? It's a new one. It looks awful. Now, Herman mentioned it, and we heard it throughout the broadcast too. I'll read what Herman said. It took a while to adapt to the pitch. I don't know if anyone got a chance to see the pitch, how it was playing. It was a little bit wobbly in the first 10, 15 minutes for our lads. Now, okay, I really can't. When I play, it doesn't matter what I'm playing on. It could be a freaking minefield. It could be a golf course. I have no touch. Explain to me what a wobbly pitch means, Jimmy. Can you? What does a wobbly pitch mean? I mean, it was wobbly. I didn't like it.
I've never heard that term before. I don't know what a wobbly pitch is.
I think he's just insinuating that it's kind of it wasn't great, essentially. So it's a new fake turf or whatever generation they are nowadays. How does that play? It played very slow from what I saw. And it needs to be worked in. They kept saying it needs to be worked in, worked in, worked in. Now, you played in fake pitches before?
Yeah, when I came when I came to MLS, that was the first time that I played on artificial turf. And I mean, normally what they do is they soak it so that the ball plays quick, because if they don't, then it becomes very sticky, the turf, and doesn't play the way that it should do, or kind of replicate grass. So maybe they didn't water it. I don't know. I have no idea, but it does play different, that's for sure. Turf does.
One of the things with Gillette Stadium is and they got a problem there. It's in the middle of nowhere. It's a real commitment to go to Gillette Stadium. And it's okay for NFL. They got 8 home games, whatever, during a season. They can deal with it. But football and getting out to Gillette Stadium, the traffic, shit. Like, it's just really, really difficult. You can see why they struggle at the turnstiles.
Yeah. Yeah, it's miles away. It's out in Foxborough.
Yeah.
So it's a fair distance outside of Boston. That's
but they have
sure.
that new tradition of throwing out some box onto the field, which was the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life. So anticlimactic.
The confusion is, I think they misspelt the word crate in the post.
Right.
Because it's a tea crate, right? As in the Boston Tea Party. I think that's where it's coming from. And they get a big crate with the emblem, the logo of the opponents, and they throw it on. It's stupid. It doesn't work. But unless I'm mistaken here, they misspelt the word crate on the initial post. So when I'm reading, I'm saying, oh, the T create? What the hell is I don't know what this is. It's very confusing. But I think that's, but still, it's kind of dumb.
But the actual ceremony was so ill choreographed. Some guy throwing a box out. It wasn't even like, it should have been a crate that falls apart and hits the ground and blows up or something. Yeah,
with like body parts in it and stuff.
Yeah, it's like, hey, we're going to go be revolutionary or something. You know, they're called the revolution for a reason. It was not revolutionary.
Then they lose 1-0.
And then it was the exact opposite. It was bizarro. throw the create out, and it was brutal. It was a brutal ceremony. I don't know whoever came up with that in the sports marketing department. You would have gone, that was the worst thing I've ever seen ever.
They need to create a new one, that's for sure, because that was shite.
Yeah, but so we're going to bash New England Revolutions.
Maybe it was Robert Kraft.
Yeah, Robert Kraft, suck on it.
Will they be the team that should we decide to have a team that we hate each year?
Yes.
Is it them?
Yes, it's the New England Revolution.
Yeah. Okay, let's do like that. Every year we'll pick a team that we despise.
I feel sorry for them.
Shut up.
Why, Craig? Why?
Don't feel sorry for New England Revolution.
Well, because it can't get anybody out there, and it just looks sad. Can't score.
They're a storied history in MLS. Storied history. Maybe we'll get into some of that on our MLS Box to Box this week with whoever we book this week. Or just rerun Hercules again. If he's getting 1,000 hits on one video, then we'll just keep rolling it.
Absolutely. You
know, over and over again. Other things I want to talk about. Oh, yeah, so W Gold Cup. Canada, wow.
Well, hold on a minute. Let's go back to the Toronto SC. We haven't finished Toronto SC yet.
Yep, we've got a whole podcast.
Let's talk about Sean Johnson.
Incredible.
He's had two of the best appearances he's made in the last two games for Toronto SC. He's been absolutely brilliant. They've been heavily outshot, really. I mean, the two games have been outshot between the two, 40-16 on target. I think it's something 11-4 outshot. And they managed to pick up 4 points. And a lot of that is largely to do with the goalkeeper.
That save he made late in the game was unbelievable. To his right.
Yeah, it was a great save.
It's going to be one of the great saves of the season. It was superb. On a wobbly pitch, no less. Mm. So anything else you want to talk about TFC, Craig? And I mean, you're the Vancouver expert too.
No, that's also, it.
I'm stealing from JMO though. Last year, they had 4 points overall on the road. In the first two matches, they have 4 points already.
It's been a good start. You can't knock him.
But I just can't believe how shite they were last year. It just shows how shite they were, right?
That's the story, right? More than how they've improved, how bad they were last year.
Yeah, and they've given up. The players look energized, and that's kind of exciting.
Bernadeschi was working his ass off yesterday. On defense, obviously breaking forward, he was very, very good. And Insigne showed that magic. That goal was beautiful.
And
he was a world.
And the fake injury that was brilliant. It was. I was like, I might like him again. That little short.
That's it, though, Wonga. That's how he's going to bring the fans back on side, right? Doing that, score a great goal, have a bit of fun, be a little bit cheeky, put an effort in. That's all they ask.
Yeah.
Not much, right?
Yeah. No.
So
we'll for your millions of dollars, fucking run around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just run around.
Just sweat. Just sweat for us. That's all we want.
Just sweat for us. Can you fucking do that?
It's true. The Toronto sports.
Terry Dunfield should pull them aside and say, what the fuck? I had you for, I don't know, 15 games last year? You didn't put that effort in for one of them.
You killed my career.
Yeah. Yeah.
Terry's still there, right?
One win in 16 games.
Well, hey, listen, amazing. Well,
that's the good thing.
Results do, right? Positive results can change the dynamic in a room, right? So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. W Gold Cup Canada found a way. My God, speaking of a great save, Kaelin Sheridan at the death. Evelyn Vienne, of course, scoring the winner. I mean, it wasn't easy. Better team by far, Craig. But again, I think it was She Scores Bangers wrote, it was a Hollywood ending to this one. It was brilliant.
It was. I wasn't really I was kind of watching the Vancouver Whitecap game, and I expected Canada to roll over Costa Rica quite easily, and it wasn't happening, and just hearing lots of chances. And I think when I turned over, it was 36 shots to none. and they still hadn't scored. And then in the 93rd minute, Costa Rica get that unbelievable chance. And Sheridan standing there literally for 2 hours doing absolutely nothing comes up with a really, really magnificent
How
save.
How difficult is that when you've been standing in that that box doing nothing all game, all match, and all of a sudden you're asked to do that? Is that hard, or is that the life of a keeper, or is that kind of how you have to live?
It's the life of some goalkeepers. Play for teams you don't get an awful lot of work at, but she's professional enough to know that you just never know. You got to be ready for that. You got to expect that they're going to have at least one opportunity and better be ready for it. And that just the fact that she doesn't give up on it, could have easily give up on it. I mean, she's exposed, really. The player there just taking the shots. The advantage is
the other thing is she has giant feet, right? Like, that's amazing to have giant feet because she got it with her toe.
Yeah. Yeah, she got long toes, Wonger.
Yep. We know what that means. Big shoes.
Yeah. Big shoes.
All right. Oh, we should note that the broadcast is being recorded on Thursday this week with Dubs and Rian Wilkinson, head coach of Wales. That'd be a really interesting interview, I think. And obviously, I'm sure they'll talk about Canada's performance at the Gold Cup and what we'll have learned by then. It's a world away on Thursday. So much can happen. The States are back at it. They beat Colombia, right? So yeah, they've moved on as well. It's a shame that they ended up winning it, wouldn't it?
Harder.
Yeah, it's a 10:30 start Eastern time. I think Wednesday night, is it? But it's got changed. So they pushed back the time. I was just reading about it now. So, you know, tough in for Canada. We'll see what happens.
I just think it's a real shame if the States win this thing in the end because they're falling apart. You know, we're all thoroughly enjoying that, right? How having this tough tournament and people are talking out and saying things and, you know, where's MAs is going to win. It'd be a real shame if they won this thing after all that.
You know what? One thing it was great about this tournament, well, one of the bad things about it, the attendance isn't great, but didn't expect that to be much different. But is for the Mexicans and their women's side and this belief in their side. And even Hercules was saying that when they did the one game, it was the highest attendance or highest rated game and women's game in Mexico, Spanish language, ever. Yeah. So
amazing.
Good for them.
Yeah.
Good for
them. But it goes back to what we're saying. Like these countries now around the world, they're investing in the women's game and they're just getting better and better and better. There's a lot of money being pumped into it.
They've got to address, though, where this thing's being played, haven't they? You've got to get some fans in the seats.
Yeah.
But you spread it. I mean, I don't know. Financially, feasibly, logistically, you can spread it over more than just the States, get some games up here in Canada. I mean, obviously, right now it's difficult, but out west you could potentially. And they always fill stadiums in Mexico because it's been pathetic, the attendance. Let's not kid ourselves. It's been pathetic. You hear about these great record.
We have to be honest with ourselves. Yeah, we have to be honest with ourselves. Canada, our men's team, our women's team, it doesn't matter who it is. We're outside of Canada. We draw flies. We have family and friends. You can literally see and talk to your family and friends in the crowd. There's that few of them that are actually supporting. So it's not down to marketing, not down to anything. We're just not there yet. We don't travel. If these tournaments were run on the back of Canadian support, there would be no tournaments. There would be no Gold Cups because we bring absolutely zero to the table. Mm-hmm. Never bring any fans. Not a numbers where you look at and there's like 3,000-4,000 fans in the end zone or anything like that. It just doesn't happen. We have a hard time drawing in Canada. We're not a football nation.
The people that do travel, though, they're brilliant, eh? Remember the Voyageurs down in Jamaica? They got washed out. Jimmy was calling the game. They're drinking beers, and you're like, the people that do show up, they're always such big fans, and I love that. I love this.
They're amazing. They're amazing. We just need 100,000 more of them.
Yeah, exactly. All right, I got to run, guys. But briefly, John David scored again for Lille. Ike Ugbo scored this weekend for Wednesday. Motherwell's Theo Blair scored as well Lots of Canadians scored this weekend, actually. So that bodes really well. FuboTV.com/footyprime. Subscribe. Lots of big games coming up this weekend. And make sure this week, and make sure you sprinkle your hard-earned money through TonyBet.ca. Anything else you want to get to before I jump? I've really got to jump myself. I just got to text my daughter.
I want everyone to cheer. Everyone who listens and everyone else who doesn't listen, Inter beating Genoa today for the TonyBet parlay. That's what we're bringing. Craig Forrest Tejon Buchanan with the winner. I know DiCola will have a hard time with it, but yes, that's what we're cheering for today.
Awesome. We are footyprime.com. I'll put up another knee-jerk reacts blog post later this week to leave your comments to help us talk about whatever you want on Wednesday's foundational show. But until then, everyone, enjoy yourselves. Enjoy the week. Enjoy Inter Milan smashing Genoa, and allow us to bask in our glory. $50 towards Craig's casket fund or wherever it's going. All right. Till then, everyone, we'll chat to you later. Cheers for listening.
This episode of Footy Prime has been brought to you by Fubo TV and by Tony Bett. Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts, and follow us on Twitter at @Footy_Prime and on Instagram at @FootyPrimeIG. And visit wearefootyprime.com and sign up for our newsletter.
All right. What is up with crazy internet? Jesus Christ.
I don't know. He's on a lag.
Yeah.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.